Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Got something neat for wrestling fans. You're going to love this. The State College Spikes, and they do a series of promotions for the minor league baseball team all the time. They're going to do two bobbleheads this year. Trace McSorley with his bat swing as one, and David Taylor, the great champion, two-time wrestling champ. David Taylor, going to have a bobblehead night for him at the State College Spikes game this year. How about that? It's really cool.
Very fun.
Again, David Taylor, in terms of the ability to be a dynamic. He and Bo Nickel are crossover wrestlers. Yeah, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody over at the WPSU this morning. And, you know, we were just talking about sports in general. And she said to me, she says, "Oh, my dad is not a wrestling fan, but my dad loves Bo Nickel." I said, "Now that's what I've been talking about. That's what I've been talking about for days here, over and over again. That's what you want. You want to convert a fan."
We don't talk to all that many people that follow the NBA, but when it came to Michael Jordan, you had people like that, or like your grandma. She knew the name Michael Jordan.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You're trying to get somebody who can cross into a different realm. All right, and Bo Nickel does that. That's why, you know, it was something when I was looking at the Hodge Award, the Hodge Trophy. And I know it was between Nolf and Nickel, and Nolf had an awesome career, had a great year. But one of the reasons I looked at Bo is like, Bo, I don't care if it's blue hair or whatever it may be.
Yeah, how about a Bo Nickel bobblehead with blue hair? Yeah.
Well, they can't do that till he's out of school.
So this is true. Yeah.
That's why with David, they can do it. He's out of school. And with the Olympic trials being here next year, which is going to be incredibly exciting.
The Magic Man and Bo and Jason will be participating.
Well, I mean, let's be honest about the Olympics. So everyone, you know, obviously, if you're a huge wrestling fan, you know this. If you don't, I'll point it out. Olympic wrestling is an older man's sport. That is an older man's sport. It's very difficult to go from the collegiate level. It's not an easy road from the collegiate level to that level. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. David Taylor's well positioned to give it a run. Now, Bo and Jason, Zane Rutherford's done a lot of freestyle wrestling. But to have that here next year, I want to say it's in June next year. That's exciting. But David Taylor's going to have his own bobblehead at the Spikes this year. Now, I think that's really cool. I'll have to save one for you.
That'd be awesome. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that's, you know, that way you can have it and you can stick it in the suit's face. Yeah, how about that one? Yeah. Yeah, it's signed by Cale Sanderson. What?
Oh. Keep me in the good graces of my wrestling buddies, too.
Oh,
heck with a suit.
Graces.
Heck with a suit.
Make you jealous.
That's right.
I mean, jealous. If that ever happened.
Your head's on the swivel.
Yeah. Yeah, that ever happened. My goodness. But yeah, that's that. But the Spikes have a lot of promotions. That's two of them. Trace McSorley bobblehead with the baseball swing after a touchdown, and David Taylor. Mucho cool. But I was talking to Jim Bortz today. Jim was telling me, he says, "Oh, my dad, he's not the biggest." He said, "But that day at Bo Nickel." Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's growing the game. When you get somebody who's not really a fan and you make them a fan. Hey, That's how you go from 615,000 viewers for the national championship to a million. All right, that's how you grow it. You know, you just make it a little more exciting for somebody. And yeah, I give Bo credit. Bo's that kind of guy. Bo's that kind of guy. Now with the Olympic trials this year or next year, no place deserves to host it more than here. I want to say the last time was at Iowa. Does that sound right? The last Olympic trials may have been in Iowa.
Could be.
And
I know they hosted one of those Final X's, I think, last year.
Yeah, but this will be exciting to have it here. And needless to say, how difficult will that ticket be? Get them early and often.
That's a great predicament to be in.
Yeah, it is. It is. And they're lucky they're going to be able to have it because wrestling was going to be out of the Olympics at one point. And it got saved. Remember the series of shows we did with various people, including Kale, about saving it? We had Kenny Shurto on. We had Kale on. All talking about what they needed to do. And then we sent the interview to other outlets about trying to save it as an Olympic sport. And they did. The Olympics in next year will be in Tokyo. Today, Patrick Chambers on the show. We have a lot to talk to him about today. Obviously, we'll talk about the Lamar Stevens situation. And we'll get to him about that. He'll be joined by Scott Walker as well. It'll be a little coaches versus cancer talk as well. Penn State was just recognized for its great coaches versus cancer fundraising. Cleared the $3 million mark. You know, battling a deadly disease like that, they put a lot into it. A lot into it. The Masters is underway at Augusta National, and it is a leaderboard that certainly has a lot of pizzazz to it. Tiger Woods is at 2 under par. He's a shot back. John Rahm is at 3 under to lead the tournament. Mickelson's at 1 under. Let's see what we got.
I was watching a little bit of it about an hour ago during a lunch break. I saw Patrick Reed nailed an eagle putt on 13, took his score from 2 above to even par. At that point, he was 3 off the pace.
Right. Well, Woods is now birdied 14. He's tied for the lead. So it's Joe Harding, Tiger Woods, John Rahm, all at 3 under par. Connor shot a 270 today. J.B. Holmes a 270. They're done. Let's see. Let's go to the Masters.com leaderboard here and check it out.
Also, I was reading that Jason Day re-aggravated a lingering back injury. He was while picking up his daughter this morning before his opening round. He is currently receiving treatment. He has not withdrawn at last report. He is out on the course with Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau.
Okay.
Last month at the Arnold Palmer, he was forced to withdraw after playing 6 holes because of a sore back.
Yeah, so here's how it's gone. Rahm was able to go out and birdie 13. He birdied 11, not easy. Then birdie 13. Woods has been able to birdie 13 and 14. He's at 3 under par. So that's where they are. Let's see. Some other names on here. Adam Scott's at 2 under par. Gary Woodland's at 2 under. Ian Poulter's at 2 under. Tony Finau's at 1 under. Louis Oosthuizen at 1 under. Ricky Fowler's at 1 under, now playing 14. Matt Kuchar's at 1. Dustin Johnson's at 1. Phil Mickelson's playing 5 at 1 under par. Brooks Koepka's 1 under par, playing 4. Well, let's see. Anybody else? Patrick Reed, you mentioned him. He's at even par. That's because he eagled 13. Then he was able to birdie 15 because he bogeyed 14. Tommy Fleetwood, who should have a shot this week, is at even par. He's now playing the par 5, 15th. He'll be back at red numbers shortly. Justin Thomas, early even par. Rory McIlroy is at 1 over. He just birdied 13 to get to 1 over. And let's see. Let's go to the bottom of the board here. Angel Cabrera at 10 over. And Kevin Harrod is at 12 over, playing 4.
Oh, only 2 behind. A former Masters champ.
Cabrera has completed his round. Harrod is playing the 4th hole.
Okay.
Yeah. It could get worse.
Stay out of double digits. Avoid the cut. Get to moving day.
Let's go to Vern Lundquist over covering the 4th hole. Vern, here's Harrod now at 12 over through the first 3 holes. He's just off the green and he's taking on a mysterious club. We've been informed by his caddy, Suit Light, that it is something called a chutter. Just picked it up at Walmart last night.
I could have sworn they'd have a guard at the back end of Magnolia Lane to check on stuff like that.
What an incredible story as to how he somehow got that piece of junk into the club. Augusta National has standards. I got traded last night.
How about that?
We were talking about trades on the golf course. I got traded.
Although the emails that between Adam Purdy and I didn't see the word trade in there. Didn't see that.
The suit will not be riding in the same cart with me. I've been dealt. I'm with Steve Engel, Adam Purdy. Who is our 4th?
I believe Adam's uncle was going to be taking part in that foursome.
Awesome.
Yes. Oh. Yes, the Sunbury Broadcasting foursome at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. You have Kevin Herr, the chief, Dave Ritchie. We got Craig Fogel back this year. And also, we're bringing in Greg Wetzel.
Who, by the way, can play.
Yeah.
Greg is a player. So they're in good shape with Greggy there. And, of course, Craig can play, obviously. But, yes, I was dealt last night.
Well, our teams will be side by side, so in case you want to swap out for a couple holes, that availability will be there for you.
No, I'm okay. Don't you think I've suffered enough? Everybody, it's the bridge, Doc. This will be the first time I played in that tournament where I felt like my life wasn't in danger going to the par 3 with the bridge. Hey, I'm with normal people. All right.
May 8th, going to be a blast. May 8th, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, 570-286-5636, if you want to take part.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
A lot of fun. We're going to be at Penn's Tavern.
Yes, the afternoon before. Yes, on Tuesday the 7th, we'll do our show there as an option for non-golfers that still want to support the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll have you a chance to stop out and enjoy some great food and drink, our show, and also give to the cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle? Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade. Plus, save $4,500 on a 2019 Kia Sorento LX. Now just $26,415. A 2019 Kia Optima S has $4,000 in savings. Now only $22,910. SMC is still offering a $99 a month lease on a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just 36 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Lease us for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Offers expire 4/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
I guess they told the suit they'd give him money in the trade, and he was so desperate to make gold for the month he took it. No? That not it?
That depends if he was in whatever it takes mode.
It's not funny. Truth hurts. Truth hurts a lot. Need to make gold. Oh, my goodness.
So if my math's correct, you've already been out seven times. Six times? Seven times?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... The other day I did something where I played nine holes. Right? Now, of the nine holes, two of them are par threes, so there's seven available fairways. And I don't think I've hit seven fairways all season. I hit all seven the other day. I thought, this is a lot of fun. I went out there fighting all the time. I was like, okay, great. That'll be the last time I hit seven. But what the heck?
Oh, that was that day you hit the 41 on the nine, right?
Yeah, I got 41, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, I think my worst so far is like 45, so it's not bad. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have a blast at the golf tournament. Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm just gonna have to go out and impress my teammates, you know, and show the people that dumped me.
Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go.
What a mistake they made. Oh God! How dare you take me and just cast me aside as if I was nothing. I'm now motivated.
Famous words of Uncle Cy in Duck Dynasty. It's on like Bing Bong Jack.
Okay.
Although if you end up in the morning flight as well, and you're going to be there the whole day, but if you happen to end up with another group in the morning flight. There's already concern by Steve Engel in the Purdy group that you may run out of gas early afternoon for the...
Cut me a break. It's golf. I'm in a cart.
I assured him last night. I said he's already been out at least six, seven times. He's going to be fine. It's all good. You're already rip-roaring and ready to go.
No. Look, I'm in a cart.
Yeah.
Come on. Hey, I'm going to be exhausted at the end. Look, just the mere sight of seeing the suit on the leaderboard, I'll be rolling them in left and right. I will not allow the team that traded me and treated me just and discarded me as if I was yesterday's news. I'm not going to allow that group to beat us.
What am I missing here? What am I missing here? There was a trade? I must have missed that portion. Maybe there was a back alley swap that I was not aware of.
I'm telling you right now, somebody needed to make goal and cash was involved.
Or to get a strong start in the second quarter. One of the two.
I mean, seriously, I told my parents to make goal. Great.
I did hear a Yahoo Buckaroo from around the corner in his office right before his lunch break today, so maybe must be having a good day so far. Maybe that's when the whole. Maybe that's when this whole thing went down.
No, I think he was playing a video game. Hi, this is Steve Jones inviting you to be part of the 28th Annual Truman H. Birney Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll kick off the event with a special broadcast on WKOK Tuesday, May 7th, starting at 3 at Penn's Tavern, south of Sunbury. Then Wednesday, May 8th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, golf the morning or afternoon flight, four-person scramble, and win great prizes. To sign up your team today and for more information, call the Sunbury Y at 570-286-5636.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. When's movie Mike going to review Caddyshack?
Timeless.
I'm just asking.
That's timeless.
I'll tell one quick story here before we get to Megan. We had an intern years ago when I was working morning radio, and we, to make him more active, we had him review movies. So he started reviewing movies that were on TNT and USA. We're like, what are you doing? And one of them was what, Made in Manhattan with Jennifer Lopez and Ralph Fiennes. He said they had a great actor, Ralph Fiennes. We're like, that's Ralph Fiennes. So we told him one day with the holiday season coming up, Easter and also Passover, I said, why don't you review a movie that has some juice and some substance to it? I said, review Ben-Hur. So he reviews Ben-Hur. He comes back in, he looks at us, and he says, I found Ben-Hur to be confusing. We're looking, the two of us are looking like, confusing? Ben-Hur? Confusing? What's so confusing about Ben-Hur? He said, it starts out with this scene where they're getting oil massage and they're arguing back and forth. We're looking, what the heck is he talking about? So finally, I looked over at him. I said, let me ask you something. In your version of watching Ben-Hur, how early was the chariot race? He goes, it was like just a couple scenes later. I thought you told me it was later in the movie. I said, it is later in the movie. I said, give me your copy of Ben-Hur for a second. So he hands the DVD over. I said, you started on side B. He goes, oh, no wonder it didn't make sense. Started on the wrong side of the DVD. Oh, Megan Montemurro always starts from inning one and works through inning nine. She does not start inning six and then go back to inning one. Megan from The Athletic, welcome so much. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good to be here.
Okay. The Phillies are going to host the 2025 All-Star Game. Just the announcement and, you know, what it means to Philly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they haven't had the All-Star Game yet at Citizens Bank Park, and I know it's something that the organization was really hoping that they would land at some point. So it's looking like they will announce tomorrow that they'll host the 2026 All-Star Game at Citizens Bank Park. That's kind of a cool thing. Anytime a organization can land something like that, it'll be the U.S.'s 250th birthday that year, so obviously it has special meaning. I think it's been something that the organization has been hoping for a bit, so good to see that it came together for them.
And it also allows them to, again, showcase one of the great ballparks going in Citizens Bank. I mean, it was a gorgeous place. All right, let's get to this team. Obviously, they did a lot of work in the offseason. Bryce Harper ended up being, it doesn't take a genius to be the capper of all that. Now that you're starting to see in practical application these moves, what do you think, at least in terms of the initial returns?
For the most part, the offense has done what they kind of hoped it would do. They've shown that they can score a lot of runs, that they can come back in games when, you know, perhaps they trail early, and that they can pull out low-scoring games as well. So I think that's all really encouraging. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, looking at the team on paper coming into the season was going to be the pitching staff. You know, were the young starters going to be able to take that next step forward? You know, was the bullpen going to be deeper? And once, you know, they lost Tommy Hunter to injury and Victor Arano was so terrible in spring that they had to send him to AAA, that really hurt the depth of the bullpen, which was reflected in that loss on Tuesday night. So I think for the most part, you know, they've kind of shown what people expected them to be.
All right, now let's take this to Gabe Kapler, because obviously a year ago he was under fire a year ago this month about how he was managing the early season games with such a heavy emphasis on analytics. How have you seen him evolve as a manager, and how do you feel he's handled this team and strategically how he's handled this team so far?
Well, I mean, I think one thing that he's made an effort to do, even, you know, in spring training, was definitely changed the tone of some of his comments, public comments, in terms of offering maybe a little more constructive criticism of the team and some players, because that was an issue last year, especially in those final 6 weeks. It was just too much over the top optimism, you know, when things weren't going well. It was something that team president Annie McPhail had a conversation with him about, that, you know, that's not going to fly with fans when you're only kind of operating like that. So that's one thing that's kind of stood out so far in terms of his efforts to, you know, maybe offer some more constructive criticism. And in terms of, you know, applying things in game, I mean, for the most part, you know, one of the issues last year was that there weren't you know, set starters at a lot of positions, or the talent didn't warrant having the same guys out there every day. And now you have a lineup where, you know, other than maybe third base and center field, I mean, you're sending out the same lineup every single day. I mean, you can see how frequently he's used the same one, other than giving Real Muto a day off and giving Hernandez a day off with his early season struggles. It's been the same batting order pretty much every game. So that takes out a lot of the analytics stuff, I guess, when, you know, you're not having to really overthink that part of it. And in terms of, you know, pitching staff usage, I mean, that's always going to be a manager's greatest challenge. And, you know, when you don't have as deep as a bullpen as, you know, he expected to have, you know, earlier in spring, that certainly makes the job a little trickier on the nights like Tuesday night, when three of your best relievers are down and unavailable.
Sometimes somebody gets dropped down in the order, they can pout about it, or it can relax them. Is Mikel Franco a more relaxed player at the plate because he doesn't have the pressure of hitting three or four?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not even necessarily the pressure of hitting three or four, but it was more the pressure of having to be one of the guys to carry the offense. You know, even when he was hitting fifth or sixth, you know, the expectation was this is a guy that has to drive in runs if the Phillies are going to be successful. And now that's really not the case. He can just, you know, do what he does best, which he's a patient hitter. He had their lowest strikeout rate on the team last year, so he puts the ball in play, which is, you know, ideal when you're hitting in front of the pitcher, because you know you're not going to get a lot of good pitches to hit. And, you know, so far he's showing that when he gets a good pitch, or, you know, the pitcher throws up a mistake pitch, he's able to do damage on it. So I think a little bit of, you know, there's less pressure. I don't know if it's necessarily as much where he's hitting the lineup in terms of three and four, but just the overall pressure of not having to be the guy to score runs for them. I think that makes a huge difference. And, you know, his experience hitting in the middle of the lineup, that pressure that he did experience, you know, it gives him valuable knowledge hitting eighth.
How has JT Realmuto been in terms of handling the staff? Because it's all an entirely new group that he has to know, understand, get a feel for. How's he been in that area?
Yeah, I mean, it's still obviously a work in progress. Spring training was obviously the first time he had a chance to work with these guys hands-on. But I think it does help that, you know, coming from the Marlins, he faced all those guys. He had a chance to watch them. So he understands certain things about that. And I think from there, it's just, you know, continuing to grow comfort level between himself and the other pitchers. And that's just something that's going to continue to develop over the course of the season.
What's your initial impression of Gene Segura at shortstop?
I think he's been pretty solid. I know he's had a couple errors, but I mean he's a pretty solid, sure-handed guy offensively. You know, he's the guy that puts the ball in play. And so, yeah, I think having kind of that steady presence at shortstop, a guy who feels comfortable in the position, definitely improves not only team defense, but in the lineup, you know, it gives them a really good two-hitter behind McCutchen.
All right, when you come out of spring training, you will have a couple of questions here and there, and it'll take a little time to answer some of those questions. What are a couple of questions that you had about the Phillies when the season began that you still feel they're in the process of trying to answer for you one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing would be the bullpen. I mean, like I said, once Tommy Hunter went out with the forearm strain, and Arano just was not the Arano that, you know, had been pitching in the big leagues last year. I mean, those are two guys that they relied on not only to pitch multiple innings, but they could get lefties out. They could be used in high leverage situations. They could be used in the fifth inning. Those were two really versatile relievers, and losing those two guys really hurt the depth of the bullpen. And like I said, on Tuesday night, when they had Morgan, Robertson, and Neshek all unavailable because of the usage the previous couple days before that, you know, you kind of saw what happened. You know, they didn't have a lot of options beyond Dominguez and Neris once Nola couldn't get out of the seventh. So I think that's something that's going to be concerning, especially coming up. They're going on a stretch without having an off day, I think, in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, he's going to run into that situation again where he might not have his top relievers available. So that's going to put more pressure on the starting pitching and also some of those guys who maybe weren't expected to be in higher leverage situations at the start of camp.
What's Bryce Harper been like for you to deal with, and what kind of sense do you get has he been in the clubhouse with his teammates?
Yeah, I mean, he's been perfectly understanding of the situation, the intention that comes with not only signing a deal like that, but, you know, joining a new team and joining a kind of young and a young team that is expected to do well this year. So on top of that, you know, in terms of his presence in the clubhouse, I mean, from you know, what we've been able to see, he's, you know, getting to know his teammates and getting to know a new environment and seems to be having a good time so far.
All right, so now we head into this stretch here. For you on judgment, is it a week-by-week thing, a game-by-game thing, or do you try to make your judgments month-by-month on where the team is?
I mean, I think you kind of look at it in terms of homestands and road trips and then, okay, you know, evaluate within month-long frames.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, Megan, thanks so much. Appreciate your time very much. I really enjoy your articles in The Athletic.
Yeah, thanks for subscribing. We definitely appreciate it.
You bet. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Patrick Chambers, next half hour, we have a lot to talk about with basketball. Lamar Stevens entering his name for NBA evaluation. Off-season. And some other elements dealing with Penn State basketball. We're not going to get into potential rules because, I mean, I want to wait until they pass something, which is probably not until May anyway. Harding and Adam Scott both in the clubhouse, 369. Gary Woodland, 300, playing 18. Tiger Woods, 300, playing 17. John Rahm, 300, playing 17 as well. Kazire is at 300. Then after that, group at 2. Ricky Fowler is now in that group at 2. And Phil Mickelson now playing 8 at 1 under. That's a par 5. Mickelson might be 2 under when he's done with 8 because of the par 5. So that's where we are at the Masters. And the blue-white game is coming up on Saturday. The weather on Saturday looks terrific.
Yeah, don't forget the sunblock on Saturday.
No, I'm in the booth. I'm good, thanks.
Well, not you and Jack, yeah. I'd say maybe you need a little bit if you're out doing the tailgate show out in front of the Jordan Center, but...
We're not.
You're not.
No, we're not, as a matter of fact.
Boom, 3 p.m., right to you in the booth.
Exactly, and that's what we'll do.
By the way, for those wondering, BTN will not be airing the blue-white game live this year. You'll be able to watch it first run on tape delay Saturday night at 8, and Lisa Byington and, yes, Matt Millen coming back to Penn State this weekend.
Yeah, that'll be obviously a pregame stop around 2 o'clock. We'll be to go up to the BTN booth and talk with Matt for a bit. So, see how he's doing, how he's feeling. Seems to be doing well. He's doing well enough to be on the broadcast. Tony DeSanti is the producer of it, and Tony told me back in February how much they wanted to get Matt on the broadcast. At that point in February, they weren't sure when I talked to him, but obviously he's well enough to do it. That's I'm thrilled he's going to be there. Look, the first quarter and a half, you'll see more of the players you recognize out there. As the game goes, the scrimmage goes, you'll see other players that are getting evaluations. And, you know, there'll be guys that at one point were walk-ons and they'll get their opportunity to play. What's the single most important item out of the scrimmage for me is coming out unscathed, not being hurt. There are a couple things that when I look at the spring, I went in with a wait-and-see attitude about the spring. It's like, okay, let's just wait and see how this plays out. And as each week went by during the 4 weeks, I became more and more impressed with what I was seeing, especially the athleticism. Now, what do they need? All right. Obviously, when I look at Penn State, okay, there are three areas that jump out to me right away that I say to myself, okay, I'll feel better when I see this. I'd like to see a little more depth at safety. Garrett Taylor, obviously, is a known entity. Lamont Wade has had his best spring of his Penn State career. Now, Lamont Wade was okay his first spring, and he was decent last spring. But at least this spring he's been good. I didn't say great, awesome, and incredible. I did not say that. I say good. He's been good this spring. That helps. Now where do you get? Jonathan Sutherland is a known entity. And Jonathan Sutherland gives them depth. But I'd like to see one more guy get in there. That's why I've talked about losing Aaron Monroe. You lost a guy that may have been that fourth guy. So the question is, does that player already exist? Is that a player like John Patrician? Okay. Or is it Brisker, the young player coming in June? I know they're very high on Brisker, but obviously all of us would like to see him out here. So that's one area, the depth at safety. Not the starters, but the depth at safety. Depth on the offensive line. I think the five people they run out there, and I think most people have seen it published about Rasheed Walker, Will Fries, Michael Mennett, Steven Gonzalez, and then it's either C.J. Thorpe or Mike Miranda. Right, so there's six guys right there, and then Des Holmes gives you a really good seventh. I think Hunter Kelly did well, earned himself a scholarship as the backup center. But again, you would like to have, you know, a two-deep situation across the board on the offensive line. Can they make that step? You know, Wigan now at that right tackle spot. Can they make that step and be a better team with the second group out there? The first group's going to be fine. It's the second group where, in developing depth, I feel right now they've got seven guys that I feel good about. Can they get to an eighth? The question is getting to 9 or 10 too. But that's, I look at that. Then the final spot is, and the part you can't control with Jake Pinneger, and he's had a good spring, but this is only something that you can sit there and feel good about in a game. Penn State needs to be able to get the ball to the 25-yard line and no matter what, feel like they're going to get points out of it. The question would be, okay, now you're at the 25. Will you get three or will you get seven? You have to feel comfortable when you get to the 25 that you've got the three in the bag. And that's where Jake Pinneger comes into play. And this is not something you can sit there. You can practice it all you want. You can put him in situations all you want. But in reality, in his spot, it's got to happen in games. I mean, in the Citrus Bowl, if he doesn't get that ball tipped at the line, it's 10-10 at halftime. Kentucky feels like they're going to lose.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.